Hallelujah. Can you hear me? I say amen to that. The way you come is not the way you're going to go back. You will pick something and you'll take it home in the mighty name of Jesus. That is my prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope we're enjoying the heat. It's beginning to ramp up, and I just said the heat is just increasing. Hallelujah. God is faithful. We had a wonderful winter, so we also have a wonderful summer. Hallelujah. Before we start, I would like some two volunteers. Two volunteers, please. It's not a trick question. Before I call anybody, two volunteers. Two volunteers. Thank you, Pastor. Come. Second one. Thank you, Brother Tony. God bless you. People are kind of scared, isn't it? Okay. What I'm going to do is, okay, I'm going to tell Brother Tony something. Okay? And you guys are very, you know all this. You play it in your home, isn't it? It's called charade, isn't it? I'll tell something to Brother Tony, and Brother Tony has, without speaking, am I correct? He has to pass the message to Pastor Franklin. You understand, Brother Tony? Yeah? And then, Pastor, you have to tell me what it is. Okay? Do you have a mic, please? I'll have to turn on my mic so that you can hear.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What I can hear in this place, something about heavens. Yeah, that's what I can hear. Maybe we open heaven or something, but...
Hallelujah. Brother Tony, can you just speak the mic and tell him? Hallelujah.
Today is Palm Sunday.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You may have your seat. Hallelujah. You could see what the voice did. Hallelujah. Pastor, come, please. Okay, you two are going to do that. You could see what happened with the voice. Am I correct? And you could see once he just spoke, automatically Pastor Franklin could understand what he was saying. Am I correct? Now, this is Pastor Francis on there. Okay? Brother Cecil, please come. I'm going to tell, now they're going to speak. I'm going to tell Pastor Francis, say something to Brother Cecil. And I want you to interpret what he says. Okay?
I'm going to say it in my language.
Yes. Yes, yes.
To ba di osan, mo fe wa jounje osan, ni le yin.
Say it one more time, please.
To ba di osan, mo fe wa jounje osan, ni le yin.
Hallelujah. Any luck?
The pastor said in speaking in tongues.
Hallelujah. Sister Bookie, can you come forward?
Okay, I understand. You understand? He said he will come to your house in the afternoon for lunch.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Yeah. Pastor spoke. He could hear his voice, but yet Brother Cecil did not understand what you said. Brother Cecil said he was speaking in tongues. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, Sister Bookie could understand what he was saying and interpret it. Hallelujah. Now, what we're talking today, we're talking about communication, isn't it? And now, this was among people. Now, we're going to talk about it with God. Hallelujah. So today, my topic is going to be the voice of God. Hallelujah. The voice of God. Hallelujah. And I want you to take notes. I've given this message some time back, but within my spirit was asked for me to discuss this and to preach about this today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Text is taken from John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Okay? Now, you will notice something. At the beginning of creation, it was a time of fellowship, God and man. It was a time of talking, and it was a time of relationship. Okay? Adam, Eve, and the Lord before the sin. If we go back to Genesis 3, 8 to 10, it said, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God, among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam heard the voice of God. Are we together? The way a manner he heard the voice of God is something we're going to decipher today. If Adam can hear the voice of God, you too can hear the voice of God. Are we together? Hallelujah. Now, let's just take some simple definitions that we're going to go through. What is a voice? Okay? It can be a sound that is produced by vertebrates by means of the lungs. Those are the contemporary definitions that we have, isn't it? You can see the spoke is coming from the lungs, is coming from the larynx. Okay? Or sometimes it can be a wish, choice, or opinion. This is, I'm voicing my opinion. Am I correct? I'm voicing my stand in certain thing. That is a simple definition of voice. Okay? Now, let's move on to hearing. Because when someone speaks, someone has to hear. Okay? In the first one, when you saw Pastor Franklin and Brother Cecil, they were not speaking. He couldn't hear anything. But when Pastor Francis spoke, someone was hearing. Okay? So there's a voice that comes out, and then somebody has to hear. And to hear means to perceive or become aware by the ear. To listen with attention. To receive communication. So you can only hear someone if you know how he speaks. You can only hear God if you know how God speaks. Are we together? Hallelujah. Now, as a human being, what do we used to hear? Am I correct? So when God spoke to Adam, what did God do? Was it his ears? Did God speak with a mouth? So for us to understand how God speaks is we have to understand our own anatomy, first of all. Okay? So we'll talk about anatomy, and then we'll talk about how God speaks. Now, the body is made of three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Are we together? Now, I'm going to break that down for each of us in those parts. Romans 8, 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, the inward man is spirit. It is that part of your body that is born again. Okay? When you receive Christ into your life, when you receive Christ as Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that spirit that becomes born again. Now, sometimes we go and watch our movies, isn't it? When someone dies in the movies, what do you see? You see something floating out, isn't it? Hallelujah. Nobody here. I'm thinking I'm the only one that has seen that. Are you getting this? That is the spirit man that we're talking about. It never grows old. It never dies out. That's why if it died out, there won't be any hell, there won't be any heaven. Am I correct? It's spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. His spirit bears witness with our own spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I want to bring a differentiation between the Old Testament and where we are now. And I want to be able to show you that we have our own spirit inside that, and there's also the Spirit of God. In Judges 6:36 to 40, Judges 6:36 to 40, this is the story of Gideon. Hallelujah. Story of Gideon. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand. As you have said, and it was so. When he rose early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece. Okay? And a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, not everybody possessed the Spirit of God inside them. It was only given to kings, priests, and prophets. Okay? But that changed in the New Testament. Are you together? When God was giving, he gave each one of us his Spirit. Okay? Romans 8:14. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We have the Spirit of God inside us. Okay? So, if we have the Spirit of God, why do you want to go back to the Gideon lifestyle? Sometimes some of us have made our pastors, I'll put it, witch doctors in quotes. What do you see concerning my life? Pray for me. I need this. I need that. Come on, pray for me. I have this problem. The same Spirit of God that exists in pastor is the Spirit of God that exists in you. If you're born again, don't go back to the time of Gideon because you're in a new dispensation. Are we together? Are we together? So understand that aspect. You are spirit. If you're born again, you also have the Spirit of God. And I'll come later to doing those two relationships. All right? Now, let's move on to the soul. What is the soul? Now, the soul is a part that exists on your intellect, your emotions. All right? Intellect, emotions, knowledge of what you have. Now, man's soul is not born again. I want you to understand that aspect, okay? Don't forget we spoke about it. When you're born again, it's your spirit that is born again. All right? But with your soul, you constantly have to renew your mind. Don't forget, I said intellect, isn't it? It's your mind. That's the part of your soul. That's the part that you need to renew on a daily basis. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That is the part that we need to renew every day. Our intellect, our emotions, to become a new man. If your soul is renewed through your mind and you're born again, then you're moving in the right direction. That's why it's possible to see someone that is born again and still falling down to certain things. Are you getting it? You're still failing in certain areas because you need to renew your mind on a daily basis. Your soul needs to be renewed. Are we together? If you can get your soul renewed, if you can get your soul renewed on a daily basis, half of your problems living on earth will be solved. We're talking of restoration, isn't it? And I think it was Pastor Franklin's message, isn't it? Renewing of the mind, restoration of the mind. You have to do that daily. You have to deal with that your soul. That's where the discipline comes into play. Are we together? So I've been able to differentiate what the spirit is and what the soul is. Are we together? I'm taking somewhere. I want us to understand these aspects before we go down and delve into the other pits. And the last one is the body. We are talking about the inward. We're talking about the physical body. We come in all sizes, shapes, and whatnot, isn't it? No one determines how it comes out. But we have a case. We have something that holds us inside this place, something that houses us. And when we die, what happens? It goes back to sand, where it came from. I wonder how it would have been if we didn't have a physical body. You just see spirits floating around, isn't it? But God in no way decided to say, okay, let's have a physical body. Okay? Let's put and host everything that we have inside one. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed by the day." Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body. Which one is more important? Spirit. Because it's forever. Am I correct? Next. So, because you renew it every day, and it helps you to live a fruitful life. Third most important, body. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of your body. If you need to lose weight, lose weight. If you need to eat well, eat well. Our bodies are a temple of God, isn't it? So we also have to take care of it. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, that's part A. And I hope I was able to translate the differences between the three. Okay? Now, let's move on to the next one. The way God speaks. Now, how does God speak? All right? Number one, he speaks through an inward witness. A state of mind, an inward witness. Okay? It's not, inner witness is not about reasoning or thoughts, how I thought something logically. Are we together? Sometimes we'll sit down and we'll make permutations, this and this. Inward witness is a state, is a peace that you have in a certain situation. When you have removed all your thought processes out, I'm not thinking about this. You have eliminated all other voices. Have you ever been at a crossroads? Am I correct? That you have so many options to do. But then you're permutating. Sometimes you just remove all that and you have an inner witness that's there. It's an impression of peace. Often sometimes you might just say, I don't know why I'm going along this way, but I have peace with this decision. Has anyone been there? It seems the wrong way, but you just have peace in that decision. And then sometimes also something is looking logical, but you're lacking peace. Have you been there? That's the inward witness we're talking about. Hallelujah. Sometimes with people, I have that. I don't have that inner witness. Sometimes I meet somebody and I just say, no. I just don't have a peace of mind. I had a neighbor. I moved one time to a certain place and the neighbor wanted to invite me over for dinner and whatnot and everything. And I was supposed to be a good neighbor, isn't it? But I just didn't have the peace to go there. I just found one excuse or the other, but I just didn't have the peace. And I still have not gone. Are you with me? But sometimes you have absolute peace. And that's the inner witness. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. It's a strong conviction. Think of the people that had left their lives and gone into missions. Does that make logical sense? But when they go, they're going with a peace of mind. Are we together? I think we sent Sister Blanche the other day off on Logos Hope, isn't it? Some people say, are you crazy? Why are you going there? You have a job here. Why did I go? But she has peace. She's moving on there. Luke 24:32. This was talking about the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scripture? Sometimes some of these things you cannot explain. Okay? You cannot explain it, but you have that peace. Now, one thing about the inward witness, it doesn't convict you once. It continues convicting you day in, day out. Have you ever been in a position that you don't have any rest until you do something? Praise the Lord. Is it strange? Sometimes you have something that's convicting you that you need to do something. And you will not have any rest in mind until you do it. Am I correct? That's the inner conviction. It happens in all forms. It happens to me in several instances. I'll push it off. It's not important. I'll push it off. But no. You need to do it now. So that inner witness is not something that will just happen once. It's something that regularly will come to remind you, you need to get this done. Praise the Lord. So whenever you take a decision, okay, wait for that reassurance. Wait for that assurance of peace. Am I correct? I've gone this way, Lord. And if God is in it, he'll give you that peace that you have gone. Sometimes we get it wrong. Am I correct? We can get it wrong because we have not been able to hear properly. But then even if you get it wrong, you will have that peace. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Number two, it's through a still voice, inward voice. I tell you the truth. I am not lying. In Romans 9:11, I tell you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit. That's the conscience that we have. That inward voice in the conscience will be able to tell you what you're doing is right or wrong. That's your spirit mind. Are we together? Now, I want to put this analogy. I spoke to you earlier and we said that each person has a spirit. Am I correct? And then at salvation, what do you have? The Holy Spirit. So you have the Spirit of God residing in you, residing in your spirit mind. Are you together? So you have the Spirit of God that inside there. And that Spirit of God is helping your spirit to speak the right thing to you. Under the new covenant, every child of God has the Spirit of God. If you are born again, that's what I'm saying. You must have the Spirit of God inside you. And where does the Spirit of God reside? It resides in your spirit. Acts 2:4, what does it say? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit of God gave them utterance, the Spirit started speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's why the Spirit, okay? Sometimes the Spirit knows things that your head does not know. Have you ever been there? Your head is telling you something else, but your spirit is telling you something. Have you ever been in that situation? Now, do you know what that is? The reason why that is the Holy Spirit that's in you is speaking to your spirit mind and telling you the right thing to do. That's why I'm very, very, if someone is not born again, he has no Spirit of God inside him that will speak to his spirit and tell him what to do. Hallelujah. Now, I'll read something that you see. 1 John 3, 20-21. For if our heart condemns it, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Now, if you do wrong, who condemns you? It's not God. God will not condemn you. It's your spirit that condemns you based on that conscience. Are we together? Because if you go in and you read Romans 8:34, it says, who is he who condemns? If Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes us intercession for us? God will not condemn you. But your spirit, based on the conscience that you have, will condemn you. Sometimes you do something and you just know, oh, I've done something wrong. Am I correct? No one needs to tell you. I don't need to come and say, hey, Pastor Francis, you did this wrong. No. You on your own, your spirit will convict you that you have done something wrong. Are we together? If God condemned everybody, the thief on the cross would be condemned for life. Am I correct? The only thing God will condemn is the people that refuse to receive salvation. Am I correct? I think we're talking about when the season of Easter, isn't it? When the season of Easter, I honestly believe if Judas had repented, he would have been in heaven today. Because God would not have condemned him. You sold me out, but if you're giving your life to me, he will be in heaven with him. Am I correct? God did not condemn the tax collector. Are we together? Did they? He ate with them. Now, the way I look at the tax collector, you might not look at him that same way. Some of us look at him very, very terrible. But if we were in that same shoe, we could have been in tax collectors. Imagine the Romans occupying Israel. They needed someone to collect taxes from them. They were not going to use the Romans. They were going to use individuals. So you come, help us collect your tax. Imagine that he didn't have anything to eat. He couldn't even take care of his family. And then he was given a job. After that job, he could take care of his family. After that job, he could take care of his relatives. Even though it might meant him doing a little bit something that is a little bit hard and shady on his own people. And he picked up a job for survival. And he started making money out of it. But yet, God did not condemn him. All right? I don't know what you have gone through. I don't know what's happened in your life. But I want to tell you, God has not finished with you and he has not condemned you. Amen. Hallelujah. Your spirit might condemn you. Yes, to get on the right path. But there's always a chance to come back to Christ. Don't hit yourself so hard that you cannot rise up and come back. Brother, I just gave the sermon some time that David sinned. I think David committed the ultimate sin, isn't it? Adultery, murder. But he ran back to God. Am I correct? And God did not condemn him. There were consequences, but God did not condemn him. If God could not condemn those ones, who is he going to condemn you? Or has anybody murdered anybody here, please? Or has anybody committed adultery? No one will raise his hand that one. Because in the New Testament, it's more stringent. You even look at somebody who have committed adultery, isn't it? But we have not killed anybody. You know? So if God cannot condemn David, he will not condemn you. Run back to him. Run to him. Praise the Lord. So the conscience is the voice of your spirit. And that conscience needs to be maintained. You need to keep your spirit tender. Am I correct? 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. If your conscience is seared, you cannot make the right decision. People that are corrupt in government, they started from a small 1 beza, 100 beza, 1 real, and then the conscience becomes totally seared, isn't it? It means someone that's corrupt, he will justify it. Am I correct? If you see someone's conscience that is seared, he will justify anything that he's doing. And he can back it up with something. Are we together? He'll back it up. Some are even as bold as they will go and look for the scripture to go and back it up. When the world we have LGBT and whatnot. But yet, you go and meet some of those people debating, they'll go back to the scripture and say, God is love. He does not condemn anyone. So why should you tell me that my way is wrong? Am I getting? People will quote different things in scripture just to justify their own position. Don't allow your conscience to be said. Please, keep it tender. And sometimes when your conscience is said, you want to hear what you want to hear. Am I correct? Someone comes to the pulpit and preaches a message. Your conscience is pricking you. Am I correct? Say, no, he's not talking to me. He's talking to this person. Husband and wife, how are you? Some of you are sitting together when they're preaching and maybe there's a message you want to pass to your wife. You're not there. Or you're not the husband. Are you listening? Hallelujah. That's your conscience pricking you. Please keep it tender. Don't allow your conscience to be seared. You need to renew it every day. Hallelujah. I'll go back again. I will go to the next one. Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Now, what is the difference between the Holy Spirit and the inward mind? Don't forget what I said. You have a spirit and then you have the Holy Spirit within you. What is the difference? Most often than not, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's very urgent. Sometimes it's almost like an audible voice you can hear. There's some sense of urgency inside it. Like Moses and Mary to flee to Egypt. Am I correct? There was a sense of urgency inside it. Samuel, the same thing. Now, one thing you have to understand. The Spirit of God, your spirit that you have, and the Spirit of God will agree. The Holy Spirit will not tell you anything that's different. The Spirit of God will always be by the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it has to be by the Word of God because they are aligned. The Holy Spirit will not come and tell you to go and kill someone. Am I correct? And nowadays, we're fond of this phrase, the Spirit of God has told me so, so and so. The Spirit of God has laid this in me. Is it really the Spirit of God? You have a choice to make. Oh, this is what the Holy Spirit has said. But maybe it's your mind that wants that decision. Most times, if the Holy Spirit is speaking about, is an urgent decision. And it must align with the Word of God. Now, someone will tell me, how do I know that it's the Spirit of God speaking or my spirit speaking, wanting me to do? You have to think about it. If it's of the flesh, most times it's your own spirit telling you. Am I correct? Now, I'll put this in the other part. If your spirit is right with God and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it will go all in tandem. Am I correct? How's inside you? All right? Your spirit is speaking. He's speaking what the Spirit of God is telling him to do. And that's why in the Bible it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You might have the Spirit of God inside you, but it might just be quiet. It might just be there, sitting there quietly because you have grieved it. Am I correct? But when it's in tandem, it's the Holy Spirit that is coming out to your own voice, speaking to you. Are we together? And at that time, whatever your spirit tells you is right, because it's coming from the Spirit of God. So fill up your body, fill up your spirit with the Holy Spirit. Look to develop your Holy Spirit. Look to develop that relationship. Are we together? Hallelujah. So the first one I said was an inner witness. Am I correct? The second one was what? And now we're talking about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can see you're following. The fourth one, prophecy, visions, and dreams. Hallelujah. Prophecy, visions, and dreams. Some people have the gift of prophecy. Am I correct? They're able to exhortate, they're able to edify, they're able to prophesy. But usually a prophet will have more to that. Apart from prophecy, he might have more than that there. Now, the issue is this. We tend to rely so much on prophets. I'm not trying to say there are no prophets. I'm not too sure to say there are no gifts of prophecy. They're there. Sometimes something will be spoken on this pulpit. Is prophesying and is touching and you receive it. So God can use anybody to send a word your way. Are we together? He can use anybody to send a word across to you and you receive it. That's one way that God speaks. But we should not be going around looking for prophecies and prophets. Oh, man of God, what does God say? This and this. Saul had to go and meet Samuel. Why? Because he did not have the Spirit of God. Am I correct? The kings used to meet the prophets because they didn't have the Spirit of God. Transpose it to a New Testament. You have the Spirit of God inside you. If you're chasing around prophets and prophecies, one, you're making them rich. Especially if they ask you to bring something. Two, you might be disappointed. Young men, no one should come and tell you, this is what I saw in the vision, you will marry this person. Isn't it? If someone comes and prophesies into your life, what do you say? If I come and say, if Pastor Francis come and say, ah, Brother Marcus, tomorrow you're going to be a millionaire in reals. What will I say? I'll say, amen. But I won't hold it there. I'll go back to my closet and say, Father, this is what Pastor says. Please tell me. Am I correct? Most times we don't want to do that check. Whoever has spoken into your life, go back and check. I always like Gideon. Gideon went from one part. He was not sure. He went back and checked with God several times. Whatever we say on this pulpit, go back and check. If you feel there's a word for you, say, God can reconfirm it to me. And if God is faithful, he will confirm it to you. If it's not real, he will leave it. He was patient with Gideon. He will also be patient with you. Am I correct? And I don't want us to just be misled along that line. More often than not, I see a lot of people looking for prophecy, looking for a word of knowledge from people, when you already have that within yourself. Now, I'm not asking about advice. Advice is beautiful. If I'm looking for advice on sales, maybe Brother Matthew, Brother Vipin, Brother Sam, I can go and meet them and say, hey, how do you go about sales? I'll get advice. Am I correct? That's okay. But I'm talking about prophecy, about spiritual matters. Some things might not be clear to you. Yes, you might go back and ask somebody that is maybe more learned or versed. You can ask. But whatever they say is not final. You go back and ask God. I want us to take that very serious. Okay? The Berean Christians went back and studied the scripture, isn't it? Am I correct? Let's be diligent in that part. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Visions. Sometimes you have a vision. You have dreams, isn't it? There are three types of visions. I see spiritual visions, trances, and open visions. If you have a spiritual vision, you will see with the eyes of your spirit, isn't it? Not with your physical eyes. Some people think it's open my eyes and everything. When Paul saw the animals coming down, they say, kill and eat. Do you think it was a big curtain that just came down and he saw all sorts of animals? No, it was a spirit mind that he was looking at. And if you go to Acts 9:8, you know, when Paul, when he was arrested on the way to Damascus, he was not looking with his physical eyes. Acts 9:8 says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Paul was already blind, physically blind. So what Paul saw was in his spirit mind. Those are spiritual visions that you have. And sometimes we have that. It's a whole different topic, trances and dreams. But God speaks to people in dreams. Hallelujah. Raise your hand if God has spoken to you in a dream before. Yes. God still speaks to people in dreams. How do I know that? It has happened to me several times. I will have a dream of the future. At that time, I wouldn't know the meaning. Hallelujah. Until when it happens, then I'll remember the dream. And I was telling my discipleship class, when you go to sleep, what do you keep at the bedside? No. Okay. So people are very good Bible scholars. You keep your journal, isn't it? I thought someone would say he keeps his phone. Yes, all of us keep our phones charging, isn't it? Or you have a cup of water by the bedside in case you wake up to drink, isn't it? But keep a journal by a bedside. Keep a journal, because when you dream, God will write something for you. When you wake up, you write it down, you jot it back and go back to sleep. Am I correct? Sometimes you're so in tune to something else, something will come to you and it will. God speaks to people in dreams. I'll tell you a funny one. I was in university and I was doing engineering. And we were given an assignment. It was a calculus assignment and I could not get the answer. And in those days, we were reading seriously. You read after, you go back home, you barely eat, you're just reading. And I was sharing a room with my cousin. And I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I just woke up. I just started speaking. And I went to the desk. I did some calculations. I signed off and I went back to sleep. I mean, my cousin was just looking, he woke up and just saw what was happening. It was like I was in a trance. Now, believe you me, when I woke up, the answer I couldn't solve was that answer that I wrote there. Hallelujah. It happens. It happens. Before I moved to the UK, I had a dream. And I think I've mentioned it to you. It happens because I had a dream. I was in blue jeans. I was in a brown top t-shirt. And I was in a sign, green, with green writing on it. I took nothing of it. I kept it mentally in my head. The time came past. I migrated to the UK, started work. And where was I working? One day I came out of work and I stood in front of where I was working. I was in blue jeans, a brown t-shirt, and the sign above it was Marks and Spencer. What color is Marks and Spencer? Green. Hallelujah. Now, these are just a few examples. I can tell you more. So God also speaks in your dreams. It's very important to know about that. And that's why I say always have your jotter. Even in your church, have your jotter. God is speaking as I'm speaking. God is speaking. You're jotting down something. You can wake up at night and God reveals something to you. You write it down. Because the thing is, you might forget it. Am I correct? You might forget it. But when you write it on social date, I think Jonathan that was going to get married, I think the motto is things that were planned years ago, isn't it? He marked that verse. Same amount of time, 5 years later, he met his wife. And he brought him back to that verse that God gave him. So please, it's very important. Don't despise your dreams. Okay? There are some dreams you share with some others. There are some dreams someone can give an interpretation. Husband and wife, please, you can talk about your dreams. What does it mean? And you can always ask God. If you don't understand, you can also ask God to give you understanding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we together? So we're talking about four things, isn't it? How God speaks. Are we? Can we go to the first one? Inner spirit, yeah? Still voice? Holy Spirit? Excellent. I think you guys are following. Hallelujah. I like that. God bless you. Now that we have learned that, what are the practical steps for us to follow? Hallelujah. You want to learn God. I believe everybody wants to hear the voice of God. Am I correct? Who wants to hear the voice of God? Who wants to know when God is speaking? Everybody. Now, these are practical steps, and I'll put them here. There are three. You have to be more spirit conscious. God is spirit, and he relates to us in spirit. So we have to be more spirit conscious. In Acts 27, 9 to 10, I'll give a story there. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that his voyage will end with disaster and much loss, and not only of the cargo and ship, but also of lives." Now, if you notice what Paul said, Paul did not say, "God told me." He said, "I sense in my spirit." Nowadays, everybody says, "God told me," isn't it? "God told me this, God told me this, God told me this." Okay, God told you, let God tell me also. But he said, "I sense in my spirit." He had an inward perception. He had a premonition that they were going to go into danger. Because his spirit was ever active and conscious. Now, what kills our spirit most times? What kills the sensitivity of our spirit? My sister says sleep. Thank you very much. There's a general word for it. The flesh. Am I correct? The flesh. It's always failing you. When you're supposed to be praying, you're sleeping. Night vigil, you're sleeping. Early will ICD, you're sleeping. Women's meeting, you're sleeping. Are you sleeping now? I like the answer. Are you sleeping? Yes, sir. That shows he's awake. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's the flesh. We're asked to fast. I cannot fast. I love my jollof rice and my biryani. I cannot deprive myself. Then how are you able to hear God? It's because we're allowing the flesh to dominate us. Am I correct? When Jesus was about to start his ministry, what did he go and do? Fasted and prayed. He wanted to subdue the flesh. You have to keep that your mental consciousness alert based on your spirit. If Paul was not in that level, he would not have been able to get it. So please, you have to be more spirit conscious. When you see things happen, look at it from a spiritual point of view. Now, don't look at it from a diabolic point of view. Someone is chasing you from a village, this and this. Find out what is happening in the spirit. What's the spirit of God saying? What's my spirit saying? Are you together? If you need to take time off, take time off. Make sure there's no sin. Make sure you're not grieving the Holy Spirit. That means be more spirit conscious. Tend to your spirit mind. Am I correct? On your own, listen to messages. Listen to worship. Listen to praise. Keep it in the right state of mind. Am I correct? Don't pollute it. Social media now pollutes a lot of things. Things will just flash up. But just keep it in a pristine condition. Think of things above. Keep your spirit in the right frame of mind. Number two, hear by faith. I'm going to wrap up soon. Hear by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Sometimes God does not give us the full story. He wants you to take a step of faith. He wanted Peter to take a step of faith outside the boat. Am I correct? I was speaking of Sister Blanche. Her visa had issues. Until she resigned from her job, the visa came through. Am I correct? Sometimes God needs you to take a step of faith. You need to hear by faith. When he went to take... When Samuel went to go and anoint David, am I correct? Did he tell Samuel who it was? He just said the house, this man. And Samuel went there by faith. Am I correct? Brought the first, second, third. Samuel said, "No, is this all?" Samuel could have said, "Oh, my job is finished. Alas, I'm gone." But by faith, because God spoke to him, he knew there was a task that needed to be completed. Then they remembered the rugged boy that was out in the field. God will remember you wherever you are. In Jesus' name. But you need to take a step of faith. And one thing also, let's not run. God will take us one step at a time. Sometimes when you see a testimony, you can see what God has done. One step at a time. He doesn't come and give everything at the same time, isn't it? Because sometimes he's trying to build character in us. Hallelujah. Number three, which is I'm wrapping up on that. Find God's frequency and tune yourself to it. Now, when we're talking about frequency, we know what we're talking about. When a husband and wife are so close, I love to see those kind of scenarios. The husband might not speak, or the wife might not speak, but they'll look at each other and they know what they're saying. Am I correct? They'll just look at each other and they know what they're saying. It gets to that certain level of there. That frequency, you don't even have to speak. There's also that one between mother and children, isn't it? You go outside and you mess up. I don't know about other people. I know African mothers. Sometimes you go outside and the look they will give you. Oh. You rather they cane you there and then. Because that look is, we'll meet somewhere. Isn't it? And you just have to dress up properly. I don't know. Women have it anyways. Sometimes us guys, sometimes when we mess up outside, the wife will just look at you. And you just know, oh, I'm in trouble. Hallelujah. Men, you don't have that look. You know, you don't have that look. It's that frequency we're talking about. You need to have that with God. And for you to have that frequency, you need to withdraw at times. You need to wait. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Most times we're in a rush. We do not need to wait on God. Read the word of God next. Read it. Not only when you come to church. Because it's from the word of God that God speaks and directs. The spirit of God and the word are one. Isn't that what I said earlier on? So you need to read the word to know what the spirit of God is saying. Not only in church. Lastly, write what God says. So I've only given three practical steps. I didn't want to burden you with too much. Three practical steps. One, be more spirit conscious. Hear by faith. Am I correct? Hear by faith. Brother Cecil, Pastor Perrin says, hearing by faith. He's coming to your house for lunch. Hallelujah. Hear by faith, isn't it? And number three, find God's frequency and tune to it. I'll round up with a verse in Samuel. Can I give the last slide, please? Now, Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Now, the Lord came and stood and called out as other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak. For your servant hears you. Hallelujah. My prayer is that as we move on in life, when God speaks, we will hear him. And as we hear him, we'll obey. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. The voice of God. Hear what David said in Psalm 29, verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The question is, do you really have the discerning spirit to know when God is talking to you? You've heard the message this afternoon. Take that practical step. Be more spirit conscious. Hear by faith and find God's frequency and tune to it. Let us be on our feet. I want you to talk to God. Because you need the Spirit of God to really hear the voice of God. Sometimes, when God speaks to you, it might be through the inward witness or through the still voice. Or through the Holy Spirit itself. Or maybe through your dreams, prophecy, and even the vision that God has revealed to you. Why can't you begin to talk to God? Lord, whenever you speak to me, grant me that discerning spirit that enables me to know that you are the one speaking. What am I saying here is that ask for the Holy Spirit of God to always be with you. When the Spirit of God lives in you, you will never miss the voice of God. You will never miss the instruction of God because the voice of God is so powerful. Speak to God. Ask God that, God, you are the only one that can give me your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit live in me. Let your Holy Spirit guide me. Let your Holy Spirit direct my path. I should never miss your voice in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that God Almighty, the word you have spoken to me today, Father, continue to voice into my mind your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for today's message. Once again, you have reminded us that, yes, you speak through various ways. Father, we pray, Almighty God, as we continue the journey of life, let your Spirit continue to guide us and lead us to hear your voice properly in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that whenever you speak, that discerning spirit that will enable us to know that you are the one speaking, Lord, you will grant us in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for your servant that you have used for us this afternoon, that God Almighty, more anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. The depth of the word, the spirit you have given unto him, Lord, it shall never dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. Reload him, Lord, we want to hear more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word, let it continue to establish in his heart, in his mind, in his way, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless the work of his hand, bless sister, bless the children as well in the mighty name of Jesus. And bless his call that you have called upon him in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of you, as you have heard this message this afternoon, that God will establish it in your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we depart here, the presence of God will go with us in Jesus' name. Concerning this week, this month, Victory Night program, which is the praise night, Father, take control and take full charge in the mighty name of Jesus. As the praise and worship team will be ministering to us, Father, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. What you are going to voice to us through the administration, Father, it shall never go bypass us in the mighty name of Jesus. For the rest of the years, our program is in your hand. Take full charge and take control in Jesus' name, and let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. As we depart here, your presence is going with us in Jesus' name. And when we return next week, it shall be testimony to the glory of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. I do have a wonderful week.